It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Today is Friday, November 16th. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And coming up, we'll take a look at some new albums that are coming out this year. In fact, one that you really, really wanted to hear about, and one that maybe you didn't really want to hear about.
I mean, we can't not talk about Mariah Carey. But first, talk with music writer Maya Jacobson about a very strange but true story that she's taken a deep dive on. People are calling Jared Threaten the Tommy Wiseau of heavy metal. So this is a crazy story. You brought this to my attention, Maya, and I couldn't believe more people weren't talking about this. Let's have the basics. What's the story about?
So this is about an LA-based musician, Jared Threaten, that's spelled I-N at the end, who faked his record label, press outlet, booking agency, awards that don't exist to promote his fake band to book a European headlining tour. He did have music out, and he was in a fairly successful regional band called Satith, and that was like a death metal band. But that was a while ago, and now he's just kind of working on solo stuff. So this band, Threaten, it's ultimately just him, and the rest of the members of the band were hired right before this tour.
So he makes this music on his own, says, hey, this is my band, Threaten. And what kinds of things does he do to convince venues across Europe to book him?
Well, the first thing people found out was the followers on his social media accounts were all pretty much bought, because the majority of the 38,000 Facebook followers he had, they were all based in Brazil for some reason.
So he bought a bunch of social media followers. He made up awards that he said he won. Mm-hmm. And what else?
Fake record labels, press outlet, booking agency, and then his record label is called Superlative Music Recordings. It's now deleted, but it had this very elaborate story of how this label was started. It was very in-depth, but also kind of fishy, because they never touch on anybody they worked with or anybody else. It was just, they're the leaders in music recording, and everybody's like, since when?
How many venues actually booked this band for this tour?
Last I heard was 14. There were 14 dates on the tour. But, I mean, since November 1st, the first show of the tour, there have been many who have canceled. The other members of the band that he hired right before the tour were talking about how fishy it seemed. They weren't signing any contracts. They weren't really talking to venues. It just was kind of a little off how everything was run. And turns out he was just renting out these venues and telling the venue owners that, like, oh, people will come, you'll get, you know, bar sales. And that's not the case. Two people showed up to the first show, three people showed to the second show.
So what's interesting about this story to me is that, A, it shows what kinds of information bookers look to when booking a band, and shows how easy it is to basically create fake news, like actually fake news around your band, and convince people whose job it is to book the bands for a living that you actually have an accomplished band that actually will draw a bunch of people on your seemingly debut European tour.
Absolutely. When I first saw this last weekend, I thought that this was kind of this big scheme, this learning lesson that he had, you know, something he wanted to teach people about fake news. But as more information about the story is coming forward, it kind of sounds like that's not really the case. And he's trying to flip the story now so that it seems that it's that way, because it sounds like this was just a very failed attempt at trying to get famous in the music industry.
It's kind of like Tommy Wiseau in The Room, where, like, once the movie comes out and everybody's laughing and he's like, oh, yeah, I meant to make a comedy. That's what it was.
Yes, that is exactly what it is.
Now, to cleanse your palate, we will check out some albums that are coming out today, including the one that you most wanted to hear about on our Twitter poll. We do this every single week. So if you follow at The Current, you can see whatever albums we're talking about Thursday evening, vote, and on Friday, we'll take a look at the albums that you really want to know about. We're going to start it off with the new one from Anderson .Paak. And if you're familiar with Anderson .Paak in his previous releases, this is an entirely different direction. It's almost a soul album. There's a run of songs on the second half of this album that remind me how much hip-hop has changed from its rhymes over beat days of the 80s. This album title, Oxnard, comes from Paak's birthplace, which was Oxnard, California. And maybe that's the throwback to these sort of sonics. It reminds him of that place and that time growing up. Or maybe it's the influence of producer Dr. Dre. Either way, it's an unexpected trip to the late 60s, early 70s with Anderson .Paak, and brings in guests like J. Cole, Q-Tip, Kendrick Lamar, and on this track, Snoop Dogg is back, and I just absolutely love hearing his voice. Check out Anywhere. Ooh, summertime time back in Long Beach.
Passing one bottle 40 ounce OB. Mariah Carey, icon, diva, one of the top 10 best-selling artists of all time, is bumping her numbers with a 15th studio album. Caution is sultry and saucy. It's the sound of a grown woman with nothing to prove, except maybe that her inimitable voice fits just as well with trap beats as with stately piano chords. Now, before you start spinning Mariah Carey's Christmas classics, why don't you kiss 2018 goodbye with some sassy jams like GTFO and Anono, and then bring your bubbly into the bathtub for ballads like the album closing, Portrait. I won't let the teardrops build tonight. Just conceal myself and hide a
portrait of my life. Smashing Pumpkins, Shiny and Oh So Bright, Volume 1. This is the first album since 2000 that features James Iha of Smashing Pumpkins, and it sees nearly the entire original lineup. There's Billy Corgan, Jimmy Chamberlain, and their longtime guitarist, Jeff Schroeder. The songs seem to make up for lost time, with some songs that could easily have slipped into the track list on Siamese Dream, and others taking on the sounds of the indie world in the years since the last commercially successful Pumpkins album. Take a listen to the confident sounds of the new Smashing Pumpkins and Silvery Sometimes Ghosts, a song Billy Corgan named as a tribute to The Cure's Robert Smith. We're like a rocket, touch like a dying sun. Snap like a dragon,
die like a pelican. Danger Mouse seems like one of the busiest producers out there. He's worked with just about everyone, but this is new. He's making an album with singer-songwriter Karen O, best known as frontwoman of the Yeah Yeah Yeahs.
I've been waiting for new Yeah Yeah Yeahs music. So basically, this is kind of feeding that small part of my soul that just needed to hear Karen O's voice again.
Details on the full album release aren't yet available, but a first track from the duo takes us on a 9-minute journey into what Danger Mouse calls a place rather than a sound. Karen O helpfully adds, "The more I live, the less is clear to me. When you create from a blurry place, you can go places further than you've ever been. We both were excited to go far out." No eyes open, no eyes closed. No smoke on your breath, no eyes closed. I feel like in this spacey vibe, we should do like an echo effect. And that's the currents, music, news.
Jay, I'm feeling your vibe.
Thank you. You can hear more of all this new music over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jake Abler.
And I'm Jade.
Our producer is Cecilia Johnson. And thanks again to Maya Jacobson for popping on and explaining the crazy story of Threaten to us. If you like The Current's music news, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday with more music news stories.